My name is Michelle Owu, and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project. The date today is the 11th of August 2009, and the time is 1:20 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
Sure. My name's Nadine Esther Wild Palmer, and I'm 25 years old. I was born in London, and I moved to Brighton about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, actually. And I live in Brighton at the moment, but I do a lot of stuff in London, so I'm a London to Brightoner.
What prompted the move to Brighton?
I went to university there, and then I did a master's there after my degree, and then just continued to do like music and performance. And I come back to London a lot for acting and stuff like that. So.
What was the MA you did?
Creative and critical writing. It's brilliant, I loved it.
And how are you feeling now?
Hot, but really quite excited. Yeah, it's nice.
When did you find out you had a place?
About a week ago. I got an email and I was like, oh my God. Got really excited.
Can you remember how you first heard about the project?
I found a postcard in, I think it was Brighton Library. And then a friend of mine told me about it as well, and I said, oh, I'd found this postcard, didn't it sound like fun? And she was like, oh, I know all about that. And so I applied on the internet through that.
What was it about the project that appealed to you particularly, do you think?
I think it's a generous offer to anybody who's interested in art to be given an hour and a space to express themselves. In a way that they interpret the world around them. Like, I've seen people on the phone, I've seen people sleeping, and I saw an Olympics thing on their website the other day that was just wonderful. And I like the idea of that platform becoming something that's part of the community, because I believe that performance, art, performance, culture, that kind of experience is a community and a communal thing, and that it should involve as many people as possible, or find a way to connect with people. I think that the plinth is in a good position to be a platform to allow people to express themselves in a local community, or not even.
Is that part of your approach to performance, to find a connection with people?
Yeah, definitely. I think my performance is a lot about how I sort of digest the world, and also the like natural ebb and flow of the way that it works, and I just feel like there's this sort of energy that happens, that people go in certain directions and you cross over and you share and you learn, and that you get inspired and you pick tiny weeny bits up off different artists that like just create the little pixel inside you that in the end makes you who you are, hopefully at the end of your journey, which is sounds really like like kind of spiritually profound, but I don't mean it like that. I guess it is, but yeah, it's about events making you who you are, I think.
Tell me a bit more about the type of performance work that you're involved in.
I'm a really versatile and wide stretching performer, because I'm in a play at the moment called Crossings that's written by Julie McNamara and is being directed by Paulette Randall, and that's going on tour in November, and that's a really like a much stricter, more disciplined side of my performance. And then I'm a musician, singer-songwriter as well, and I play the violin and piano. And I think that side of me is much more about the core of like who I am personally. And I think the acting is learning my identity through trying on different identities, and I think the music is about who I am just fundamentally. And then writing is the bridge between the two, which makes it all sort of flow along, because I'm always writing as well, but I guess my writing's not so much for public, apart from when it's in my songs. But then I say that and I'm writing a play and a children's book, but that's just been ongoing forever. So I couldn't live without the arts, so this is what I do.
So you have your own projects on the go as well that you're working?
Always. It's feeding my soul.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
I'm wearing it's polyester wedding dress that is probably from 70s. It's like really frilly. It's kind of got a square neck. I've straightened my hair, which I don't usually do. It's usually some sort of curly afro. I'm going to wear some bright red high heels and take a suitcase and my guitar and sing some songs. Have I got any? And I've got red lipstick, I think, and a bit of a sweaty face and a ring round my neck. It'll be explained, I'm sure. Do you want me to tell you what's in the suitcase? In the suitcase, I've got an umbrella, which is full of confetti, so that when I open it, hopefully all the confetti will go whoosh. And I've got a little white stool, and I've painted the umbrella white with acrylic paint, and then it's my boyfriend's birthday now, so I've written Happy Birthday, Bertie on it. And I've got, in my suitcase, I've got loads of different objects that are wrapped in wedding tulle. And they have a note inside saying which song I should sing. So it's kind of like a lucky dip draw it's kind of like playing with fate on what all the possibilities of the order of things and how that will affect what I sing and when I sing it. So I'll pull out an object and it will be like, oh, now I have to connect this and sing this song. So I just didn't want to sit down and just sing loads of songs. I wanted to see how I thought that they made sense through objects as well. So we'll see if it works.
What kind of venues do you perform in?
At the moment, with acting, theatres, I'll be quite a lot of theatres in November, and I performed at Rich Mix in Old Street for that at the end of June. And for music, mainly sort of pubs, but I did just go to the House of Fair. I went to Port Elliot Festival and Glastonbury with a creative arts organisation called the House of Fairy Tales, which is an arts-based organisation formed by Deborah Curtis and Gavin Turk, and they're trying to bring art back to being a sort of all ages kind of play, so everyone gets involved all at once, and it's a really inspiring project to be part of. So festivals and pubs, probably more music, and then more theatre type venues for acting, and then my room and my desk for writing.
So how did you hook up with the House of Fairy Tales?
Oh, that was about a year and a half ago, and that was through a friend of a friend who said that me and my friend TD would be really good for this project. So we emailed them and sent them a sort of a biog of what we do, and they asked us to come in, and we met one of the ladies who was coordinating the project, and then we started going to meetings with them, and we were quite in the organisational side for a while, which isn't exactly my area, which I think is how I've ended up going on the performance path, because it was I wasn't quite suited to that at the time. I think I'd be much better now, but I love performing anyway, so it's kind of my natural state. It was through a friend of a friend who'd found out about it, because I think they worked at Arts Admin or something. So word of mouth.
Did you train as a performer?
Yeah, what I've done, I've been acting my whole life. I started in little theatre and drama schools, not schools, but like clubs and stuff when I was little. And then I did performing arts. I did GCSE drama, then I did performing arts at college. Then I did drama, which was it was supposed to be sort of half practical and half theory, but I think it was more heavily theory based than practical. And then I did my creative and critical writing MA. So I've done sort of training up until my BA, and not so much training recently.
What kind of subjects is your writing
covering? I'm funny, I don't know if it probably counts in a way. That might be why this appeals, but it's a communication. It's not so much like technology and stuff like that, although that's got a big part in it, but it's it's funny, I hadn't thought of this, but it's kind of like about a sort of acknowledgement of the fourth wall between the audience and the actor on stage, but then also there's a whole other dimension to it. So, but it's about barriers and communication and how we communicate through different modes, like the telephone and radio and stuff like that, but also how we engage on them on a subconscious level, with them on a subconscious level. It's like probably in its eighth rough draft and nowhere near the end. But it's, yeah. I think that's what the MA taught me, was to cut out a lot of stuff that wasn't working and to be a bit more critical, which is really helpful. Communication. That's the key.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
In South London. In Balham. And I went to Burntwood Girls School when we still had Miss Beattie, back ages ago.
What was she like?
She was really cool, actually. She was like quite an inspiration, sort of. I always felt like she was more like a sort of political figure than a headmistress.
Why do you say
that? Because we were such a big school. We were an all-girls school. We had this motto that was education today for the women of tomorrow. She was always like really well presented, and her hair was always tidy, and she, you know, she went up on a plinth to you know, sort of orate assembly to these like 2,000 girls who couldn't sit still in scarlet red jumpers. So I always thought that she was much more like a politician. We'd always have like quite sort of serious topical assemblies, so that's probably but yeah. It was good times. It's good times.
How would you describe yourself as a person? How would you paint a picture of yourself?
They had that question on the website, and I was like, God, this is so hard. I think I said curious, luminous, and can't remember the other one. I really just wanted to say interesting, which is completely opposed to being interesting, but I guess I'm kind of jolly. I like enjoying things. I'm probably a fairly honest approach to the world. I'm like quite excitable and really easily overstimulated as well. So if I'm in a big room with lots of people, I just won't be able to. I'll just be like, oh my God. It's too much, it's so exciting, I love it, but you probably get better conversations out of me if you just kind of take me aside and sit me down. Otherwise I'm just like, all the colours and the amazing beautiful people. But so energetic, excited, open. I think I'm quite an open person. Optimistic, and I like to make my own opportunities. So I think that it's better to go out there and to try and create your own opportunities in order for you to move forward and learn things and meet new people than to expect it to come to you, which I think something that's just started to really hit home with me over the last year is that I went through a whole period of saying yes all the time, and it was quite a good time because I met loads of people, and it's kind of not so much like yes man, but like just being more positive and saying, oh yeah, okay, I'll give it a try, and just kept going with it. And I think that since then, just so many more doors have opened up for me, and I've done so much more than if I'd said, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. Because I think lots of things can be scary, and I almost feel like it's a little bit more scary to feel like you're succeeding at stuff than to fail.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think I was talking to my mum about it, like today or yesterday even, just about how like you can always fail. That's like your kind of fallback plan. Like if you really, you know, you don't have to try too hard to not succeed, but to actually to succeed and put yourself into things, I think is there's a certain amount of risk that belongs to it, like to pushing what it is that you think is right or that you think is important or just your work or yourself. I think it's scary because if you push and you push and you do actually fail, that's pretty rubbish. But if you sit back and you don't do anything, you just end up festering, I guess. I don't know.
Is this something that came from your parents, do you think?
Possibly. They're both artists, and my stepmom's an artist as well, so they're all painters and teachers as well, so maybe that's kind of what it's, yeah. They're really, really supportive. I couldn't wish for anything more, really. So it probably does come from that, sort of making your own opportunities and creating your own avenues.
Is there anybody that you've met recently or in the last few years that's helped shape what you do?
My friends, a lot of my friends have been really important, especially my friend TD, because we did a lot together at university. A young director and burlesque dancer I've worked with a lot, called Charlotte Bennington. There's a London poet at the moment emerging called Jasmine Kure, who is a constant inspiration, and Dean Atter, who's also a wide performer. And then on top of that, people like Deborah Curtis and Gavin Turk from The House of Fairy Tales.
And
my musician friends. Sorry.
Tell me a little bit more about what you do with TD.
Me and TD have been writing and creating sort of performance art since our first year in uni, and we've done all sorts of things. We've been in plays together where there wasn't any actual dialogue, it was just all gobbledygook. That was The Absurd Dreams of a Midsummer that we did at uni together. That was the whole of the Midsummer Night's Dream conveyed through physical theatre and gobbledygook. And we had a whale of a time. And then we did some other projects at uni that we did, one called Gratuity, where we had 18 people in the cast. And in each different room in this large house, there was 45 minutes worth of theatre that had been devised by each small group that was in the room. And me and TD and another girl called Beth created this absurd piece of drama, which was fantastic and just helped us grow. And we were in a band called Slapdash for a while, that's still going. We're just gonna do a performance at a party that she's having on Saturday, but it's just slowed down a bit because we're in different places. And then me and TD are now working on doing she's interested in directing and creating kind of like live art through film. And I'm interested in, and so we're thinking of making sort of live music videos of my songs. It's kind of hard to explain because I suppose that music videos are live, but kind of like one take all the way through, and then orchestrating people and things so that it is just like one through line, and it's like almost like live, but just once. So, so I've known her for about 7 years now, maybe longer. Still creating, still writing, and we want to write a screenplay, but we're getting there slowly.
Do you have any reservations about doing this tonight?
Only that I'm getting a bit croaky, because I'm tired.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, thanks.